Hear what the wisest person in all the world has to say about how we should do business, interact, and transact with people. Today on The Balanced Word.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Hello and welcome again to The Balanced Word. Get ready for a great time in the Proverbs with Pastor Dave Rolfe. We're talking business basics today, but this goes way beyond what you do for a living. Pastor Dave will explain it also involves how we make transactions and interact with others too. We'll soon see that God wants us to be honest and be careful who we link up with. Here's Pastor Dave in Proverbs chapter 13, pointing the way to smarter living.
Let's turn in our Bibles now to Proverbs chapter 13. This year we are spending what I think is a really important year looking at the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is wisdom coming from the wisest person to ever live. That's what the Bible calls him, Solomon. And there's a lot we can learn. Now, what wisdom is ultimately is how to live smarter. God gives us this gift of life, and he puts us in the situations that we are in. And if we have wisdom from him, we can figure out, how can I have the best life possible? How can I actually live life the way that God would say, yeah, I love you so much, that's what I want you to have. That's what I want your life to be. Every one of us makes decisions on an hourly basis at least that affect the kind of life that we ultimately have. And so this year in Smarter Living in Proverbs, we're looking at various topics and seeing, okay, how can I do that better? How can I improve my life in this area that we're talking about? And so it's, so far I've really enjoyed this study and look forward to all the topics that are upcoming for the rest of this year. Today, though, this morning, our topic is the topic of business. Now, if you're like, I'm not in business, this has nothing to do with me, we are all in business, okay? Business doesn't just mean you have a business license or that you are an entrepreneur starting your own company. Business, you know, the word busyness and business are the same word. It's what you do. Ultimately, what business is, though, is how you make transactions, how you make deals and bargains and things like that. So not only what I do for a living involves business, but the truth is what I decide to do with today is a business decision, how I allocate my time. If I decide to buy this rather than that, that's a business decision. We are all involved in transactions. Choosing to be with one person instead of another person, that's a business decision. Business doesn't have to be pejorative. It just involves how we interact and make exchanges in life. One of my favorite jokes ever is the story about the school teacher who told these little kids, if you can tell me who the greatest person to ever live is, I'll give you $10. So that got the kids' attention. Back when the joke was written, $10, you know, today kids wouldn't walk to the front of the class for $10. But that was a big deal back then, and I just haven't updated the joke. But she, tell me who the greatest person to ever live is, and I'll give you $10. And so a little Irish kid raised his hand, and he goes, it's got to be St. Patrick. She goes, no, I'm sorry, it wasn't St. Patrick. And little Scottish boy, don't worry, this isn't heading toward a Polish joke. Little Scottish person goes, it must be St. Andrew. I'm sorry, it's not St. Andrew. Finally, the little Jewish boy raises his hand. And he said, I know who it is, greatest person to ever live. It was Jesus Christ. And she goes, very good, come and get your $10. And then she says, you know, Herschel, I know you're Jewish, and I'm kind of surprised that you would say Jesus Christ. And he said, look, deep down in my heart, with everything within me, I wanted to say Moses. but business is business. One reason I love the joke is because years ago in Israel, our tour guide, who was Jewish, and I knew that he was Jewish, I was noticing that he used terminology like when we're in Jerusalem, he says, "This road is where our Lord walked." And I'm like, that's weird. Everybody on the tour thought he was a Christian, but I knew that he wasn't. And so I pulled him aside. I go, "How come during this tour you totally sound like a Christian?" And he said to me, "David, if you heard me on a Mormon tour, you'd swear I was Mormon. If you heard me on a Jehovah's Witness tour, you'd swear I was a Jehovah's Witness. David, business is business." So I told him that joke and he loved it. But that's kind of, it's all about business. It's more about business than we ever want to admit. Business, you know, every war practically that's ever been fought was supposedly about one thing, but it was almost always about business, about exchanges, transactions, and deals. And that goes up right till the present time. Someday, you know, 100 years from now, people are going to study our times, and they're going to say, "So wait, Saudi Arabia on 9/11 attacked the United States, so the United States attacked Iraq. How does that make sense?" Business. Business is how almost everything ultimately makes sense. Now, Solomon, as an incredibly wealthy person who had business interests all over the known world, knew something about business, about what worked and what didn't, how best to conduct business. He was very successful. In fact, for Solomon, not only was he making business transactions with every country in the known world, for him, people often say, "Wow, he must have been some kind of romantic. He had 700 wives. Well, when he got married each time, it wasn't like, "Oh, I'm so in love." It was business. He would marry the princess of a country that he wanted to do business with, and that was the way he lived his life. So he certainly qualified to give us some sort of indication as to how we can make the best transactions with other people, whether it is at our work, whether it is in our social life, whether it's our personal financial dealings, or whether it's just how we schedule our time. And so he has a lot to say. Here in Proverbs 13, and we're going to look through several scriptures in Proverbs that relate to different basic policies of good business. And then we're going to look through and just categorize them in three different categories and see what we can learn. But in chapter 13 and verse 11 of Proverbs, he says, "Wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase." In other words, if you get the upper hand by lying and cheating, that is going to catch up to you. Ultimately, in general, that will not serve you well. But if you want to do business effectively, you need to work really hard. Now, right away, you're going to go, "Oh, hard work, hard work." We're also going to find out that work isn't everything, that there is a way to find balance in all of that. But starting off to just understand, there is no path to making good decisions and doing good transactions if you're not willing to work hard. And Solomon was big on that. And, you know, you would think, I mean, Solomon, he didn't have to work. And it's true, he inherited a bunch of money. But man, Solomon worked like crazy. He could have just sat there and spent his dad's money. But instead, he was making, you know, deals with other countries, with other women. He was also writing poetry and studying, you know, botany and philosophy. And he was a busy, hardworking guy. And he goes, "Hey, that's really important." And that's why he understood that. Now turn over to chapter 16 and verse 11. We see another statement, basic principle. Proverbs 16, 11. "Honest weights and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work. Most of their business would be conducted around commodities, whether it's food or other things that were worth something, precious metals or whatever. So a business person always had a scale, and it balances perfectly. But you would put the commodity on one side of the scale, and you would put predetermined weighted weights on the other side of the scale. That's how you would find the proper price of things and the exchange rate. Well, if you were the business person, you could cheat in a couple of different ways. If you were selling grain, you could put things that are heavier, like iron filings or dirt in your grain, make it heavier, and therefore cheat by what you were selling. If you were the merchant who was doing the purchasing, you could shave your weights, and they might say 2 pounds, but you know it only weighs like 1 pound and 3 quarters. So quite often they would mess with the scales in order to try to get the upper hand from a business standpoint. What he is saying here is God is involved in making things fair. God is the one who puts you in a position where you are able to make a transaction, because he made it all. And everything you have comes from him. And so he says, as a basic principle, honest weights and scales actually come from the Lord, and all the weights in bag are his work. You aren't just cheating another person. You're actually cheating God, because he wants this to go down fair. He's the one who came up with this whole idea. And he made the weights, the commodities, and the scale, and everything in it. And so, good basic principle. God wants us to be honest. Then turn over to chapter 20 of Proverbs. There's a few verses in this chapter we'll look at, but you go down to verse 10, it's sort of the flip side of what we just saw. In verse 10, he says, diverse weights and diverse measures, both sides of the scale, they are both alike an abomination to the Lord. So before he told us, fair weight is from God. That's what he wants. Now it's the opposite. When you cheat the scale, when you cheat the balance, that's something that makes God sick. That's something that God just goes, that is abominable. That's against everything that I care about. And then down in verse 14, it's kind of a funny one. It says, it is good for nothing, cries the buyer, but when he has gone his way, then he boasts. Here he's letting people know, look, everyone isn't going to be honest. When somebody wants to get something from you, you should perfectly expect that they will just go, I don't know, it looks like it needs some work here. I don't know, the engine sounds like there's a little knock, or, you know, you sure there's no Bondo on this thing, or, you know, that dog you're selling me looks like he might be sick, or, you know, he's just going, look, expect that. If you're going to do business, you need to have your eyes open to the fact that you can't trust everyone else to be as fair as you want to be. Just to be forewarned is to be forearmed. Be prepared and expect, hey, people just do this. So be wise. Down in verse 17 of chapter 20, he says, bread that's gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be filled with gravel. If what you do is cheat people, you might think, wow, I really got away with one there. But later it may taste sweet, but it's gonna turn into dirt in your stomach. It's gonna feel like gravel. What goes around comes around, and if you decide to be a cheater, there's going to be a day when you just go, why in the world did I do that? Why did I damage my own reputation? Why did I take advantage of people? And now here it's coming to roost. It's coming back to haunt me. And so a practical exhortation as to why honesty matters is because it never pays in the long run, or generally doesn't pay. Sometimes people get away with it. But, you know, basically, just realize that if you're going to get something by deceit, you'll regret it. And then in verse 23, same thought as we saw back up in verse 10, diverse weights are an abomination to the Lord, and dishonest scales are not good. Again, he doesn't like, God hates, it's an abomination to him for people who cheat in transactions, whether in, you know, an economic transaction, whether in a personal relationship way or anything else. He wants you to be fair. He wants everyone to be fair. That's how we can function as a society, through earning trust that says, I want everyone to win. I want a win-win thing. I don't want to just beat somebody else out of what they have. Chapter 25 and verse 19. And this is about the people that you do business with, your associations. Verse 19, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint. In other words, you can't afford to trust people who are not trustworthy. You can't afford to be linked to someone who is able to destroy you if it turns out they're unfaithful, they're flaking, they fall apart, they can't be trusted. He goes, man, that is something that it's like having a bad tooth or a disjointed foot. It's just bad. You don't want to be with those kind of people. Now over in chapter 28 and verse 8, another principle of business. One who increases his possessions by usury and extortion gathers it for him who will pity the poor. Usury is loaning money to people at an exorbitant rate, something that's above the, you know, what a normal interest rate would be, like credit card companies, for instance, the way that's usury. And he says, if you get rich by taking advantage of people who need to borrow from you, and then extortion, you use finances to control other people and force them to do something that they don't want to do. You're gathering all of that, but somebody else, somebody who actually cares about people, somebody who wants to help people who are in need, God's going to end up shifting some of what you have illicitly achieved, and he's going to miraculously cause that to come to people who are compassionate, who really care about people. Finally, over in chapter 29 and verse 24, another one about your business partnerships. Whoever is a partner with a thief hates his own life. He swears to tell the truth, but reveals nothing. You can't believe anything that he says. So business partnerships, you link up with the wrong people, whether it's in relationships, whether it's in business dealings, whatever it is, you create bad partnerships, someday you're going to hate life because it just doesn't pay off. We have to be cautious about who we are trusting and making transactions with from a business standpoint, okay?
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Now here are a few great business principles as we close.
I've pulled out three basic principles that I think you'll see. All of these scriptures kind of support these basic business principles. So here is just a basic assessment of what the wisest man in the world tells us about how we should do business, how we should interact and transact with people. The first principle, and we saw it in the very first verse we looked at in chapter 13, God values hard work. The way to get more is by working hard for it. Like I said, Solomon's an example of this. Didn't need to work a day in his life, but he worked like crazy. You read the book of Ecclesiastes and you see he was a busy guy, always trying to work. Now, most people, if given a choice, if you say to them, I will give you X amount of dollars to not work, or I will give you the same amount of dollars to work, most of us would be like, cool, I won't work. But that's a product of where our society is today. If you go back historically, in fact, for most of us are probably Protestants, there was something that was referred to as the Protestant work ethic. It was that, well, society around the Middle Ages had gotten to the point where the people who came from richest families, who had achieved a certain level of success, and society was controlled by the organized church that was the richest institution in the world at the time. Well, there were a group of people who just thought, that's not right. It seems like the rich just get richer and the poor just get poorer, and this just isn't the way it ought to be. And so they protested against the establishment, and they became known as the Protestants, the protesters. A group of those people were the ones who ended up traveling to our country and starting the United States of America, what became it with the colonies and then states being added and everything. Our country was basically founded on a principle that says anybody who works hard can achieve success. And anyone who doesn't work hard, hey, Darwinism. It's just the survival of the fittest. You don't want to work. Paul would have agreed with the Protestant work ethic when he said, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. When he said that, he said, I've told you this before. That's where our country was founded. And for most of us during our lives, we've been just completely enculturated into the mentality that you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps, work hard, and life will be good to you. Refuse to work, life will be bad to you. But today, in our society, that's not quite the way that the narrative goes. Because today, it's more a socialistic egalitarianism. Egalitarianism means not just that you have equal opportunity, but you should have equal results. There's something wrong if everyone doesn't have the same as everyone else. Well, the way to do that is to redistribute wealth. You find people who've worked really hard and have a lot, take some of their stuff and give it to somebody who doesn't work, and we're all equal. The problem is that demoralizes the people who work hard, and it disincentivizes people who don't work from actually working. You know, if you go to any county or state or federal park, you will find that usually on a sign somewhere or in a flyer, they will tell you, don't feed the animals. And they explain, the reason you don't feed the animals is that they will become dependent on humans feeding them, and then they won't be able to provide for themselves. I learned this over at La Paz Regional Park from a park ranger when I was standing there with my granddaughter with some breadcrumbs. But so I know this is a fact. But what causes us as a society to protect squirrels from becoming dependent on handouts, but we have over 46 million people in our country who are getting food stamps, and we're not realizing, wait, they're not going to be able to provide for themselves. Now, if you're getting food stamps, I'm thankful that there are food stamps for certain people who deserve it. And the Bible certainly talks about people in certain situations who have been recently widowed and things like that, and people who are disabled and aren't able to work. I'm not broad brushing all of this. All I'm saying is, in our society, it has become much more acceptable to say, I can live fine without working. In fact, we take the incentive away to where if you are on government aid, you can't afford to go get a job because your entry-level job is not going to pay as well as what they're just handing you. Solomon would just go, duh. I mean, we are created to work.
More business basics coming up next time on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolfe. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you back here on Monday. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And the instrument I play with.